I want you to just bow your heads for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, open my ears.
Open my eyes.
Open my heart to perceive your word so that it can come alive in me. It won't stay in a book. Not when it's alive in me. It'll bring life to others. Because that's my job in the body of Christ. Amen? And amen. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Because I kept hearing in the morning, this morning, that we are the body of Christ. And every single part of that body is important. Now, I could use the wagon train, which would be another identification of a wagon train had to have what? A leader. What else?
Horses.
People. Wagons. Supplies. If you're going to make it across the country, you're going to need a lot of stuff. Amen? And I'll tell you truthfully, the guy who takes care of the horses may not be good with a gun. But the guy who's the lookout may not be good with the horses. That's a group of people designated to do a work for God. Amen? We are a body of believers intending to go forward with God, but we're not going to get very far if we think we're going by ourselves. Because I've got news for you. There was a lot of gunslingers that tried it. But without the cook, without the guy who took care of the horses, without the guy who repaired the wagons if they broke, they stayed in Ohio. Are you catching on? There's enough stories about the Midwest that you definitely can catch on. They all had a specialty job designed by God, by the talents they were given, and they made it across the country through unbelievable obstacles. Amen? And you know, every time I watch one of those stories, I always see God in it. Because somebody has to protect the others. Somebody's got to fix the crap that needs to just get done, and you don't feel like it, but somebody's got to do it. Yeah, the guy that cleans. You got it. My sister said we needed what? A toilet seal. What in the world? Why would God show a vision of a toilet seal? To give you a message. Everything in this book is about Jesus Christ. Everything in it. From the beginning to the end. And you know, a lot of people read it because it's, oh, might give me what I need. And that is truth. Because I'll tell you truthfully, when I started reading the Word, I was swallowing it. I was so hungry to find out the truth. And it was giving me a way of surviving. A way of survival is good for a season. And every one of us comes to the Lord and we have a need for survival. But then there's grow up time. Amen? Amen? How many know when you get married and have babies, it's grow up time? Amen? Sometimes the biggest baby could be your wife or your husband. Oh, come on. I'm not hitting that hard. But I'm telling you the truth. Amen? All right. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to go to number 17, verse 17. Living as children of light. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. In the futility of their thinking. What were they doing? They were acting like mere unbelievers. Unbelievers are always guided by what they think is right. Amen? The anointed man and woman of God is not going to go by his cotton-picking brain, because he knows already it ain't worth much. Because it's gotten you into enough trouble to let you know that you needed a Savior. I need to hear an amen.
Amen.
Why did you have a need for a Savior? Because you were doing it by the way you think. Living your life the way you think. And the more that you do, even as a believer, acting and reacting as the way that you think, the Word of God by St. Paul here is saying, wake up. The way you think ain't good enough. It's not a high enough standard. Okay? Verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding. Oh. Does that go for believers too? Absolutely. If I'm going to go by what I think, I am going to be darkened by my understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You say, how does that apply to me? Well, you can get a word, and I've seen people get a word from God because they're crying out. And then they get a confirmation, God brings a dream, or he brings something, or even a person, and says, this is what you ought to do. And then you get a knowing in your heart that you should, but then you think it out. And you say, you know what? It can't be God. You've just hardened your heart. Instead of going by what you already know is a word from the Lord, and you've got it confirmed in your heart, and now you're going to reason it all out. Well, guess what? You have just put yourself in a box and buried yourself. How many have done it?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. We've all done it. Hardening your heart causes you to fail the next level of your development. It's like a child. He goes to high school, he decides he don't like it. I don't like school. I'm not going to school anymore. I'm 16 years old. I'm going to go out to work. Anybody related to attitude? Thank you. I'm all done. Now you've done it, and most of us have also done it. I've done it. Teenage years are rebellious years. We always think we know better than everybody else. Amen.
Amen.
How about children of God? Do they get the same attitude? Yes. That's how come we have erasers on pencils. You switch the end and you erase the problem. Erase the brain. And get back to the word that was given to you and obey the Lord. And when you obey, you're going to get what? Holy Ghost fruit. Got it? Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You say, wait a minute, we're not talking about the bedroom. I'm talking about anything that seduces you. It can be a dollar bill. I've seen people that serve money instead of the Lord. It should be the other way around. It should be the Lord giving you money so that you can bless others. It's not money that's the problem, it's your heart. Amen? As long as you have provision, which was part of the message today that the Lord is giving us, I do believe that that's correct, darling. It is provision, and it's coming in. And it's good, because we need it. But you know, if you do it your way and harden your heart the way you think it should be done, you're going to fail. How many have had a few failures? Can you fail tomorrow? Yes, you can. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is the anointed gift that God gave us. You can check it out in the book of Acts. And you know what? St. Peter was stubborn. He was hardened in his heart. He knew he was no good. But God says, you're not a hopeless case. I'm going to send my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to send him to you, Peter, even if you are stubborn. Even if you like money. You know what? Peter liked money. You know how we know? He was a fisherman. There's not a fisherman that goes out to sea that goes out there just for the ha-has. He's trying to make a living. He's trying to get his children fed. That was Peter. Peter had been fishing all night, caught absolutely nothing. And the Lord comes on the shore and says, Peter, throw your nets to the other side. And the Lord starts, you know, trying to give this man a little bit of help. And Peter says, but we fished all night. Tell me if that's not reasoning. We fished all night, we caught what? Did you ever fish all night? No. Me either. But I can tell you this, I fished for several hours one time. And I can remember me and Gary and Rick sitting on a boat at Lake George. And my oldest son was so fed up. Dad, can we at least take a ride? We haven't caught a thing. And those of you who have ever been to Lake George, you know you can see right down to the bottom. We could see the fish, but we couldn't catch a thing. Not one.
Huh? Yeah, you're using the wrong bait.
We had a problem. I know you could relate. But my sons were totally the opposite. One is a fisherman and the other one is one that loves speedboats. So guess what we did? We did 1 hour of each. And we caught nothing. But the Lord provided a gift. We enjoyed ourselves. We had a great time. We didn't come home with any fish, but we went to the fish store. Are you catching on? Don't go by your brains. Do me a favor. If you've hardened your heart, get over it. If you're angry at yourself and if you're angry at God, get over it. God wants to use you. He wants to awaken you to a new level of asking Him for more grace. Verse 20. He says now, these are the children of light. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self. To put off your old self. Your old way of thinking. Your old way of reacting. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made what? New. Meaning don't go by what you used to do. Don't go by what you've learned. But be made new by the attitude of your mind. And to put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So why is He wanting you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So that you don't go by your natural abilities anymore. Not that they aren't useful. When they are anointed of the garment of praise, when they're anointed of the ways of the Holy Spirit, you'll find that all the things that you do will be a blessing to God and a blessing to you. He uses all things. I remember crying out to the Lord before I really knew that He was the one that put me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139 says He did a good job. I had a problem with my mom. I had a problem with my father. I had a problem with quite a few others. Can you relate?
Yes.
Why? If you felt like a factory reject, that's what you were. When God called you into His kingdom, He's saying, now you know why you had it such a hard time. If you wonder why you've had a hard time, it was for you to overcome the way you think and the way you respond. And the way that you've hardened your heart was for a season. But the Holy Spirit is telling you and me today, wake up. You can change it. You can thank God for the tests of your life. You can thank God for your mom the way she is. You can thank God for the way that your mother or father, brother, sister, whoever irritated you. You can thank God for them, because as you thank God for the way they are, God will begin to shower upon you His mighty blessings. Oh, but God, you didn't give me that husband, because I surely would have never brought him into my heart. But now I'm stuck. Could be the wife. Could be the child. You fill in the blank. If you are in that type of attitude, you have hardened your heart. God can't release grace until you change it. Now, is it going to feel great as you change it? No. Is it going to hurt like crazy when you decide to love them anyway? Yeah, it's going to hurt. You know why? Because you're stepping on emotions. And when you step on your emotions, I've got news for you. You're going to be yelling out, "Ouch!" And the Holy Spirit's going to press you forward. Love them anyway. Because love never fails. Overwhelming love will shatter anything that has hindered and destroyed. And that includes relationships. That includes mom and dad, who did the best they could. They maybe didn't have your talents. Could they give you what they didn't have? No. They only did the best they could with what they could do. And you know what? Some parents were able to give more than others. Don't compare. Believe me, I tried it. Almost killed me. I tried it. Why is this scripture important to me? Because it is important to awaken inside of you that you are a special person created by God to overcome the hardships of your past. You are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what your future will be. Not because I said so, but because the Word says so. Amen?
Amen.
25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. My sister had a letter, 5 pages long, written in a wonderful way, put it in her pocket and stayed on it. Like a good mother hen, she made sure it was nice and warm. Amen? What does it say, verse 25? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. What does that mean? Don't stay angry on purpose. Don't hold a grudge. Forgive anyway. Even if you feel that you're justified, the more you hold on to it, the more it's going to sink you. It will not lift you up. If you look at your past as a hopeless case, I guarantee you it's going to be depression tomorrow morning when you get out of bed. We talked about victims last week. Victimization gives you this, I don't know if I can keep on going. I don't even want to live anymore. Now, you've got to have a few relatives. Come on. How many have a few relatives on that? Thank you. Okay? Don't be like them. Lift them up. You're the one that sees straight. You're the one that has an anointing to intercede for them. You're the one that can see right through the mess. I need to hear an amen. Say, I can see their mistakes. I can pray for them.
I can change their future.
And while I'm praying for them,
God is healing me.
That's a marvelous victory. Amen? See, if you start seeing their flaws and you get caught in their flaws, you're in trouble. But if you see their flaws as an opportunity to intercede for their victory, you've got a victory in your own heart, number one. You're not going by your natural reasoning anymore. After all, they were not very nice, and I don't need to just pray for them because, huh? Is there a little pride in your attitude? Pride goes before a
fall.
So you can't afford it. You cannot afford pride. You cannot afford judgment. You can't afford another failure. At least not in my book. Verse 26 is important. In your anger, do not sin. Meaning, is it sinful to be angry? No. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In other words, there's a season to stay angry. 24/7? No. Maybe 12, 13, 14 hours max. When the sun goes down, get over it!
Amen.
Oh, boy, that was a tough one. Yes or no? How many want to hold on to the grudge till the next morning? Come on! You got to have a few fleshy people around here. I know what it feels like. I've done it. Thank you. But you got the picture. The scripture says get over it before the sun goes down. Forgive them by choice. They may not deserve it. But you don't want the headache tomorrow. I know I'm preaching right now. You got the message?
And they probably don't even care.
They don't care. They haven't got a clue. They haven't even seen what you've seen or heard or felt what you felt.
They slept well while you were up.
They slept well, Judy Ann.
And you stayed up all night worrying about it. Not cool.
Thank you.
Yep.
You're learning, huh? Mm-hmm. This is cool. This is super cool. Hallelujah. Let's go back and see it a little more, okay? Verse 27 is very important. But I want to give it to you in context so you don't miss it. 26, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So who's trying to sink you?
The devil.
Yeah, he's right there whispering in your ear. Okay, why don't you retaliate and give them a good lesson of what they've given to you. Amen?
Yeah.
Why do I think my hand went up this way? Because I would really believe that Heil Hitler was right in order. He wanted to give back to the Jews what he had believed, and he wouldn't even see the devil was using him. And he killed millions of people because he was so righteous and he was so white and holy in his own eyes. Catching on? Okay. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to building up others. Building others up. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's a mouthful. But you know what? If you take, that's actually half a chapter. If you take that and write it down for yourself, and it becomes a personal letter to you, you will see a transformation in your heart. You'll see an inner part of the life of Christ actually on a regular basis rebuilding what you were to what you need to be. A loving, compassionate, grace-filled person for every person that you meet. That includes the ones that were ugly to you, the ones that took advantage of you, and you will be more and more like Christ. And I can tell you this, the devil ain't going to bug you because he'll be afraid of you.
Amen.
He'll be afraid of you. A lot of Christians are all worried about, oh my God, the enemy here and the enemy there. Well, why don't you focus on being like Christ instead of focusing on the enemy? It's not the enemy that's the problem. It's you and me. Amen? We're the ones that open the door by being angry, tattletaling. What is that? Talking about your neighbor? Maybe if you'd build him up a little bit, God could maybe build you up.
It's only for prayer.
Oh, it's only for prayer, huh? That's a good one. Well, I just thought I'd share this with you so we could pray for them. Yeah, bull. Fill in the blanks. You know darn well the heart is what? Hurt and wounded. If your heart is hurt and wounded, go to the medicine chest. Take the gospel every day. Did you get it?
Yes.
Take the gospel every day. A gospel instead of gossip. As you sip on gossip, what happens?
Poison.
Huh?
Poison.
You're poisoning yourself, yes. And you're poisoning others. But a gospel will cure you. Look at your neighbor, say, take a gospel.
Every day.
It'll cure you.
It'll
heal you.
And God
will be glorified instead of you. Hallelujah. Now you just got off the throne. Do we flush? See, a gospel. I remember the first time I heard that. I thought that was so cool. That's the good news. Every time you see the good news and how it was written for you and me to overcome every hardship, every trial, every hurt, every painful experience, and to come alive in Him, then your whole life is going to be different. I want you to stand. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Father, today,
we're coming to you
because we need help. We are broken people. Every one of us
has been broken,
has been hurt, and have been wounded.
Sometimes our hearts
need healing. Like today.
Right now.
We need your grace.
We need your favor.
And we need your healing.
Right now.
I'm going to obey God's word.
Because God's word says
in Mark chapter 16,
when I lay hands on the sick,
they will recover.
Whatever sickness is in me,
right now,
I'm going to place my right hand
over my heart
and declare
that your truth
is going to operate in me right now.
It's going to operate in me right now.
Healing
is going through
into my heart.
Because my hand is there.
And your promise
is that you will do the healing.
And give me the grace
to keep forgiving.
Myself first.
And then those who have wounded me.
And keep healing me, Lord.
Until all of it is completed.
I will not give in to my brain.
I will stay focused on your word.
I will keep forgiving.
Unendingly.
Forever.
Because God has a plan.
To make me
into a child of the light.
I lived in darkness long enough.
I'm coming out.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
And I'm receiving my healing by faith.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise.
Don't stop healing me, Lord.
Don't stop,
Holy Spirit.
Don't stop, Holy Spirit.
I'm expecting signs and wonders.
I'm expecting signs and wonders.
In my heart.
In my heart.
And in my family.
And in my family.
And all those.
And all those.
That I hold in my heart.
That I hold in my heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anointing be upon you as you go forth in this world. Because the world may be filled with darkness, but your light would outshine every single bug that tries to get close to you. I guarantee it. When you are shining on a situation, healing will come to those that are around you. It's just automatic. Be a blessing. Hug each other. That's God's plan.
I want to say something.